Okay, as always, we thank the Froelich Financial Group for sponsoring the afternoon kollel. And this week, Roni and Chagit Shachar in memory of Eliyahu Zohar Rafa ben Masunda. And as Rabbi Shabtai just mentioned, we're very excited to add a third day of the kollel. It's really a wonderful statement about all of your eagerness to learn. It's a very beautiful thing. Hopefully next week, or I should say Wednesday, everyone will bring a friend. We're in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Kedushin Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, second wide line. Last time we spoke about Aliyah against parental objection. Normally the halacha is very clear that in a conflict between Kibbut Ave'im and following the halacha, since your parents are also obligated to honor Hashem, honoring Hashem comes first. But we showed that, based on the Medrash, perhaps Lech Lecha, the dispensation given to Avraham to leave his parents to go to Israel, maybe it was only given to Avram, but others couldn't. So that we discussed last week. We pick up here. Tana Rabbanan. Zog to Gemara. Mechabdo b'chayav, u'mechabdo b'moso. One is obligated to honor their parent when their parent is alive, and to honor their parent even after the parent has moved on. Even after the parent dies, the mitzvah of kibbut ave'im does not end. B'chayav ketzad. How do you fulfill the mitzvah in their lifetime? Hanishma bedvar aviv lemakom lo yamar shalchuni bishvil atmi maharuni bishvil atmi pitruni bishvil atmi elakulu bishvil abba. When you want something from people of a certain place, and you know those place, the people of that place have a relationship with and honor your father, and that they'll listen. Don't say I'm going for myself. I'm doing this for myself. Hurry for me. Release me. Rather kulu bishvil abba. That you should correlate or associate what you're asking for in your father's name. Rashi. Hanishma b'davar ovel l'makom. Imakir ba'anshe ha'mokom shemachavdim ovel l'achlok l'kovod l'kabal dvarim sheyomar b'shmo ayit l'akovod ba'atzmo. If you know that in a certain place they will honor or respect or more readily receive what you're saying, if you quote it in the name of your father, then take advantage and honor your father. V'afil yodeh sheyichabdu ka'aviv ayit l'akovod ba'aviv. Shachuni b'shvil abba shu tzorach li avalam einu nishma l'mokam b'dover aviv k'dover atmo ayit l'ba'ovah she'inu lo ela genai. B'moso ketzad, continues the Gemara. How do you honor your parent after they've passed away? Hayom edover m'shmo mipiv. If you're quoting something that you heard from your father, your mother, lo yomar kach omar abba. Don't say, this is how dad used to say it. Ela kach omar abba mari. Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Don't say this is how my father used to say it. Say it, this is how my father said it. Hareini kaparas mishkavo. May I be a kapara. May I be the atonement. What does that mean? Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Let the bad that he was destined to receive, the punishment that he was destined to receive, let me receive it in his stead. Let me be a kapara for him. Zogt Rashi, Hareini kaparas mishkavo, alai yavo korah haroi lavo al nafsho. Let the evil befall me, let the punishment befall me, instead of befalling him. When do you say that? Forever? So says the Gemara, qualifies it. Vahani meili, when do you say this? Hareini kaparas mishkavo, toch shnei masachodesh. Within the first 12 months, after he expires, after he dies. Mikan ve'elach omer, Zichrono levracha l'chayo olam haba. But once 12 months have passed, then you don't reference your father and say, Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Once 12 months have passed, you reference your father and say, Zichrono levracha l'chayo olam haba. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote this, leave off the last words and just shorten it to Zichrono levracha. And that's the custom that we have. First 12 months, Hareini kaparas mishkavo. After the year of mourning, Zichrono levracha. One should be makbid, one should be strict. Whenever referencing their parent who's not alive, one can honor them in death by saying, Zichrono Levracha. Yes. When did? Good. That's actually a whole article that...
What's your question?
When did Olav HaShalom, Aleihem HaShalom, Aleihem HaShalom, instead of Zichrono Levracha, Zichrono Levracha, we tend to use Zal for more virtuous people, and Allah Shalom for a more pashta person. There is actually a history to that. Maybe we'll come back to it. Yes.
What it says here, 12 months.
Yeah. Oh, let's see Rashi. Mikan ve'elech kvar kiba mashikibel sheimish bod Rishi Yisrael began him al yud biz chodesh. Says Rashi, why do you change it? For 12 months you quote him and you say harin mikara paros mishkavo. After 12 months you say zechrono levracha. Says Rashi, because the maximum time a person could need in Gehenna before they're invited upstairs is 12 months, and that's why 12 months. So you're going to ask Kaddish. Good. We'll come back to that in a moment. Good. Good. Let's go a little weiter, and then we'll come back to that in a moment. Let's just finish the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Chacham, somebody who is a scholar, who is darshaning in public. And in the times of the Gemara, when one would darshan in public, they would whisper the drasha, and the Maturgaman would say the drasha out loud, right? You had an acoustical problem. They used to respect the rabbi. He shouldn't have to lose his voice. So someone else would stand next to him and scream it out. So says the Gemara, Mishana Shem Ovi V'Shem Rabbo. So he should change the name of his Rebbe, the name of his father, and not say it, Dad, here's a copy, and not say it explicitly. B'mashana, Turgamon Eina Mashana Lo Shem Ovi V'Lo Shem Rabbo. But the translator, or the amplifier, who is, they didn't have a microphone. So a person served, they found the loudest guy in the community. He stood next to the Rav. The Rav said the shir, and the loud guy put his being a loud mouth to good use and amplified it out loud. So the Gemara says something here a little bit enigmatic. Chacham mishana shem ava v'shem rabo. Turgamon ena mishana l'shem ava v'l'shem rabo. The problem is we're using pronouns. Shem aviv and shem rabo of who? So that's what the Gemara asks. Avu adaman. Ilem avu adamaturgamon. If we're talking about the father of the maturgamon, Otu Turgamon lav bar chiyuvu. Is the Turgamon not obligated in Kibbut Avim that he doesn't have to be Mashana? So what happens? The Rav, the Talmud Chacham, is quoting the Maturgamon's father. The Maturgamon's father's name is Shmerel. So the Maturgamon's going to say, Azoy Zok Shmerel. So he's not obligated in Kibbut Av. He's allowed to use his father's name. He doesn't have to be Mashana. Say Rav Shmerel, Mr. Shmerel, Mr. whatever his last name is. Elama Rav. So what does it mean? Shem Aviv Shachacham, Shem Rabba Shachacham. It means we're talking about the name of the father of the Chacham. And the Turgamon has to not callously or casually use the name of the father of the Chacham. Kiyoda Mar Bar Avashi Kiyavadarish Bepirka, when Mar Bar Avashi would give a drasha that was being said publicly to teach halachas, and he would mention his father's name. What was his father's name? It's not a trick question. If his name is Mar Bar Avashi, his father's name was Ravashi, thank you. Iu Omar, so he would say to the Maturgamon, Abba Mari, my father, now, my father who happens to be here, that's complicated for me. Most people can say Abba Mari. For me, it's a problem. Yeah. Because that's my father's first name. But anyway, it's a little comp. For everyone else, it's a solution to say Abba Mari. For me, it's not necessarily a solution. So the Gemara says, I'm just saying the Gemara now. The Gemara says, he would tell the Amor, the Matargaman, he would say, Abba Mari, he's quoting his father Ravashi, he would say, Abba Mari used to say, V'amore Amar Hachi Amar Ravashi. So in other words, the Maturgaman shouldn't say his own father's name, but he could use the Chacham's father's name. The Chacham shouldn't use his father's name, he should change it. So again, this is the end of the Sugya. The Gemara's point is that Mechabdo b'chayv, mechabdo b'moso. That the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim applies both in life and after death. In life, it's kind of counterintuitive, we'll do this next week, but the Gemara says for next week, ezo mora v'ezo kibud. What? How do you fulfill mora, how do you fulfill kibud? I would have started with that. B'chayv before b'moso. People live before they die. I would have first talked about how do you fulfill kibud and mora in life and then in death. But the Gemara here says it in death first and then in life. So what is kibud in death? For the first 12 months after a parent dies, whenever you mention their name, you say, Hareini kaparos mishkavo, may I take the punishment instead of them. Give it to me, God, and spare them. Let me be their kapara. After 12 months, you say, Zichrono levracha, lachaya olam haba. Or we've shortened it because we don't have time for anything. We just say Zichrono levracha or Zichrono levracha. Okay, that is the Gemara. I thought it would be appropriate. I saw last week, I was looking on Shabbos, those who were here know, I spoke about Rabbi Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, that who was Nifta last week, one of the Gedolei Ador, one of the great rabbis of our generation. So I spoke about him on Shabbos. I was looking. I wanted to quote him. There's no greater schus for somebody than to quote their Torah. Sufsos medovos bekever. Their lips continue to quiver in the grave. When you quote their Torah, they continue to speak. So I looked. He has a Sefer Ayelas HaShachar on Sefer Bereishis. I thought maybe I'd quote from there. Ultimately, I quoted from something he says on Chanukah. Here is Sefer Ayelas HaShachar. He named it Sefer Ayelas HaShachar. Why? Because Aleph Yud Lamed Aaron Yehuda Leib. He didn't write his name. He was very humble and very modest, we spoke about. Lived in a 2.5-room apartment. Lived on the original mattress he slept for 64 years that he got from the Sochnut when he came to Israel. So he was very, very modest and humble. He didn't put his name originally in the Sfarim he published. He did it under that acronym. Ayelas HaShachar, Ayel, is Aaron Yehuda Leib. So in his Sefer on Parshas Miketz, last Shabbos, punkt, what did I find? What does he talk about? Our Gemara. There's no coincidences, right? So here's what he says. On the left-hand column, page 2 in the handout. It's on the Pasuk, Vayomer Ruvain. Yes. When I say what?
For 1 year.
Hareni Kapars Meshkavo. Good, we're going to come back to that. Rashi said, why are you doing it for a year? Because the maximum you spend in Gehenna is a year. And therefore, you do it for a year, and then you switch to Zichron Levracha. Because your father can't, he doesn't need a kapara. No matter, the worst person doesn't need a kapara once 12 months have passed. So you switch from Harini Kaparas Meshkavo to Zichron Levracha. I know, we're going to come to it. Everyone wonders, we say Kaddish for 11 months. We don't want to imply that our father was the worst. So we should say Harini Kaparas Meshkavo only for 11 months. I got it. You weren't the first to think of the question. We're going to come back to it. But let me just see something else for a tangent. Yes. Yes. That's a special limud. We take off one of the makos, 40, 39. Yeah. You say when it comes to makos, it says that there's 40 makos, and we take it down to 39, maybe here. We're going to come back to that. Let's look at what Rav Steinman says in his Sefer Ayelas HaShachar on Miketz. In last week's parsha, Vayomer Ruvain alav leimor shnei b'nai samis. Tamis, keep my two sons, let him die if I'm not going to bring him back, if I don't bring Binyamin back. Who is Reuven to tell his father? First of all, it's a bizarre conversation. We're not going to get into it in a Parsha class. It's a bizarre conversation. Yaakov, so distraught over already losing children, what, you think he's going to feel better because you're guaranteeing him by telling him that if I don't bring Binyamin back, you could kill my two sons? What, are you kidding me? Who is Reuven to offer it? And would Yaakov be allowed to take him up on it? If Reuven is offering two sons to correspond with Shimon and Binyamin, why didn't he make up for Yosef? Okay, that one's not such a great question because at this point, Reuven hasn't admitted to Yaakov that he's responsible for Yosef. If Yosekos, he's not responsible, he's also not responsible for Shimon. And yet, he takes responsibility for Shimon. So if Steinman wants to know, what kind of offer is this? Reuven says to his father, you got to send Binyamin. We can't get Shimon back if you don't send Binyamin. And I promise you, I'm going to bring back Shimon and Binyamin. And if I don't, you can kill my sons. Bizarre. So the Malbim explains that Reuven was not literally offering up his sons to his father. What Reuven was saying is, if what I'm doing is wrong, let the chait be on me. I'm doing something so terribly wrong that I will be punished by losing my sons. I will experience what you will have experienced. I will know that chait. So how can Reuven suggest that he can transfer the consequence of the chait? So the Sefer Chassidim talks about that a person can sell their chait. Another person can buy their chait. You did something wrong, you don't want to be accountable for it. You can pay someone to take it. And they will be suffer the consequence. In the time of the Marsha, there was a person who was chote, who did a terrible sin, and they were terribly aggrieved over it. I don't really believe in this stuff. You can't sleep. You're so miserable because you violated this horrific chait. I'll tell you what. I'll acquire the chait from you. So the one who had originally performed it paid the other person who didn't believe in it to take the consequence of the chait. So when they got upstairs, they died. The one who had violated the indiscretion says, I sold it. I paid for him to take it. I'm not responsible. The other one says, I never meant to buy it. I was just trying to make you feel better. And it came to a din Torah before a marsha, and the marsha paskined that the seller of the chait was right, that you can transfer it. So, is there this notion that you can transfer the consequence? Can you make someone else sit in jail for you or pay the penalty? So, in this context, Rav Steinman brings up, so maybe you can prove from our Gemara, the son says, every time he mentions his father's name for the first 12 months after his demise, he says, my father, so-and-so, harini kaparas mishkavo, may I get the punishment rather than him. May I be his kapara, let me suffer the punishment. Maybe that's evidence that, in fact, you can transfer the consequence. He says you can't prove it. Why? Mishum de'omrim kach b'derach kavod. It's not meant to be taken literally. You can't transfer punishment and consequence. We don't believe in the suffering servant that you can suffer on behalf of another person. Each person is accountable. Is accountable for themselves. Omrim kach derech kavod. Shamati shagon Reb Chaim Mibrisk, and in this context, Reb Steinman says, I heard about Reb Chaim lo yakose b'chasimaso ben hagrid. When Reb Chaim would sign a letter, I know someone here who owns letters from Reb Chaim. I have to have him check. When Reb Chaim would sign a letter, he would sign it Reb Chaim, but he wouldn't say ben hagon Reb Yosef Dov, the Beis Halevi. Why didn't he use his father's name? Because in the first year after his father, the Beis Halevi, died, he didn't want to have to write, my father, Rab Yosef Dov, Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo, because it's like a klala. To say that your father needs a kapara is like a curse in your, on your father. And because in the first year he didn't use his father's name so that he wouldn't be forced to write Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo, he didn't write it after the first year either. But he says some others say that you do. The Mishnah Negoim, it says, Omer Bishmo, B'nai Yisrael Ani Kaparasam, Upeirash, the Bartanura, Rav Avadja Bartanura, Mitochi Basan Haya Omer Ani Kaparasam, Klomer, Kola Onesh Aroy Lavo Aleim Ani Mekabal Atzmi, So Rav Steinman does not like the idea that you could transfer a chait, and he understands and interprets our Gemara to be meant quite not literally, that you are the atonement for your father by accepting his punishment. It means it's kavod. It's kavod to say you would do that for your father. Do you know how loyal I am to my father? You say, I take a bullet for him. I'd stand in front, I'd take a bullet for him. Hareini kavaras mishkavo loosely translates as, I take a bullet. Would you really take a bullet? Did you take a bullet? Will you take a bullet? You're just trying to communicate kavod. I love him so much, I take a bullet for him. Hareini kaparas mishkavo, I would be his kapara, but in fact, you can't really transfer. You can't really transfer. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. Maybe you could share olam haba, but you can't share punishment. I could take my money and give you some of it, but I can't take my jail time and ask you to go serve 5 years of it. Maybe. I'm just telling you. The Gemara says what Rashi says. What Rav Steinman says. It is conceivable that you could, for the following reason. I was thinking. When a father, it doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara, which is why the Gra says that you say it I'm sorry, which is why we say it without Shema Malchus, though the Gra says you do say it with Shema Malchus. But the Medrash tells us that when a boy turns 13 and he gets his bar mitzvah, when he gets his first aliyah, he say the bracha, Baruch Shepetarani Me Anshul Shalzeh. Now, what do those words mean? Baruch Shepetarani. You bless God who has exempted us, Anshul Shalzeh. So, what does that mean? There's a big machlokas, the Levush, the Shla, others. What does this mean exactly? So some say what it means is, the father will no longer be punished, I think the Prima Gadam also, the father will no longer be punished for the sins of the child. What does that mean? While the child is a katan, the child does not have autonomy. The child's not capable of making choices, and therefore the child is an extension of the parent. If the parent educated the child properly, the child makes the right decisions, the parent gets the reward. If the parent failed to educate the child properly, the child makes the wrong decisions, the parent gets the punishment. So every bar mitzvah speech, the father has some cute line about, I'm no longer punished because you slept in and then davened and bench. Right? You're on your own now. I taught you and you're on your own. But the other opinion says that's not what the bracha means. You know what the bracha means? Kolzman, the child is a katan, as an extension of the father, Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes the father for his own shortcomings by punishing the child. Kadosh Baruch Hu can make the father's kidneys hurt, can make the father's leg hurt, can make the father have a headache, and can make the child, make the father's child hurt. They're all limbs of the father. And to punish the father through one of his limbs, the children are his limbs. That's true when the child's a minor. But once the child grows up, then the child is on their own. You can't, Layum Subanim Alavosam, right? This whole sugya of Baruch Shepetarani, the pasuk says that parents aren't responsible for children, children aren't responsible for parents. So how does it work that you have a bracha Baruch Shepetarani? So one side is yes, grown children are not responsible for parents and parents for children. But when the child is a minor, either one opinion is the parents are responsible for him, that's why you get either the reward or punishment for the child. The other opinion is the child is a limb, an organ of the parent, and the parent gets punished by the child hurting. What's the nafka mina between these two opinions? Do you say Baruch Shepetarani for a bas mitzvah? A bat mitzvah, a girl. If it has to do with chinuch, then a father is not obligated in chinuch technically for his daughter. We saw that earlier in Kedushin. So therefore you don't say a Baruch Shepetarani because you're not accountable. You never were, even when she was a minor, because you're not obligated in chinuch. But if it's not a din in chinuch, if it's a din that the child is a limb, an organ, an extension of the parent, Hashem may sometimes choose to punish the parent by making the child hurt, so that should apply equally. Rav Avadya paskins, by the way, that Baruch Shepetarani, Rav Avadya brings down opinions that it is said for a bat mitzvah. It's not a egalitarian feminist thing. It's a halachic debate based on what is the origin of Baruch Shepetarani. I'm sharing this with you. There's a lot more to say about Baruch Shepetarani, only to give you an example that there is such a concept that the child can suffer as a form of punishing the parent. Baruch Shepetarani says that that ends at bar mitzvah, but maybe Harini Kaparas Mishkavo means that voluntarily the child can ki'ilu make himself a minor again. Say, I've lost my parent. I don't want him or her to suffer. I'm so loyal to them. Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Let me suffer for them so that they don't have to experience the pain. Yes. So, louder, louder. But Yisachar Zulun is an actual contract. It's a legally binding contract. Again, with schar, right? We do see the concept of sharing reward, not necessarily with punishment. That's what's unclear. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we're discussing. The pasuk says Beferish that doesn't work that way. So how does it ever work? Yes.
According to Steinman, Reuven was exaggerating. I think he was exaggerating.
Right.
Yeah. So why didn't he accept Reuven's deal rather than the Yehuda? Yehuda was putting himself out on the line.
It's not a parsha shir, but I'll tell you the difference between Reuven and Yehuda. You know the difference between Reuven and Yehuda? Yehuda had lost children. When he spoke to Yaakov,
so he felt it.
Yehuda knew what it meant to lose a child. Reuven, it was lip service. Take my sons. He had no idea what that meant, take my children. He had no idea what it meant to lose a child. Yehuda had lost two children, Erva Onan. So he knew what it meant to lose a child. Okay, Viter, so next page, page 4. Yes. Is what? No, it's less than Derabbanan. We don't even say B'Shem HaMalchus. The Gra said B'Shem HaMalchus, but we paskin that we don't say B'Shem HaMalchus because it doesn't appear in the Gemara, it only appears in the Medrash. So we don't say B'Shem HaMalchus. Okay, the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Yosef Engel, source 4. The Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Yosef Engel, source 4 says, you know what you see from our Gemara? Again, the Gemara said, Mechabdo Bimos, Mechayevu Bimoso. You honor your parents while they're alive and you honor them after you die. How do you honor them after you die? By the way you refer to them. You don't describe them like you do everyone else. You either say for 12 months are in Kaparas Mishkavo, or you say after 12 months, Zichrono Levracha. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, there's another way. You see where the arrow is? Mechabdo Bimoso, near Beinai, Inyan Amiras Kadesh Ala Ava Aim. Kaddish is a fulfillment of kivud b'mosam. Kedamrin b'kedushin. The ain lacha covered gadol mizeh sheyizka also va'adav mashiyom harini kaparas mishkavo. Says Rav Yosef Engel, Kaddish is harini kaparas mishkavo on steroids. Harini kaparas mishkavo is 3 words. Kaddish is 3 times a day when you daven, each time within that multiple times, you say the Gans Kaddish, and Kaddish is on behalf of the deceased parent. We, by the way, have a minhag of saying Kaddish for a sibling, a spouse, Rachmana Litzlan, a child, but there's no chiyuv. The chov of Kaddish is only for a parent. That's why they have the priority in the hierarchy, a parent has kedima over somebody even in Shloshim for a sibling or a spouse or a child when it comes to Kaddish. Why? Because Kaddish is a kiyum and kibud av ve'eim. Kaddish is a minhag to do on behalf of those other relatives. Really, if they have children, they're the ones obligated in Kaddish. Everyone else is volunteering the Kaddish. So, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, is mechadish, that Kaddish is even greater than Hakarei Kaparas Mishkavo, and our Gemara is a makor for Kaddish. And listen to what he says, he goes so far, he quotes the Tshuvas Radach. Lufiza Chiv Amiras Kaddish U Deoraisa Nishum Kibud. Lest you think that Kaddish is Derabbanan, he goes so far as to say, Kaddish is Deoraisa. Now then he quotes those who reject it, the Shvas Yankiv, the Don Lomar, the Chol Amiras Kaddish Urakni Sofik, Shema Abed Tzadik, Vein Tzach Lekaddish, Vein Yesh Od Sofik, Avalei Sveik Sveika Lahakel, Vein Chayev Lomar Kaddish, Ayin Shem. So according to others, not so partial. The Dvar of L'choreim Mekaddish Mishum Kibur, Adarabba, Mara Shachit Shishalav She'enot Tzadik. So then Rav Yosef Engel quotes the Shvas Yankiv, Rav Breish, who says, no, how could you say Kaddish is Kibur? After all, why are you saying Kaddish? As a kapara, as an aliyah, what are you implying about the person for whom you're saying the Kaddish? They weren't a tzaddik. If they were a tzaddik, they wouldn't need Kaddish. We say Kaddish in case, to hedge, in case they're not a tzaddik. If they were a tzaddik, they wouldn't need Kaddish. So to say Kaddish, to suggest they're not a tzaddik, is that kavod? It's not kavod in the classic sense of honoring. So according to the Shvus Yankiv, it's not kibud. But according to Rav Yosef Engel, Kaddish is a fulfillment of kibud bimoso, and therefore he holds Kaddish is something which is doraisa. What is the makor of Kaddish? Kaddish is not from the Gemara. Kaddish is Rabbi Akiva. I think it's a Tosefta that brings down that Rabbi Akiva had a dream one night. And in it, a man came to him and said, I was very unworthy. I led a very unvirtuous life, an unworthy life. And I can't get in upstairs. So I have one son, and I've learned that if you'll go teach him the Aleph Beis and teach him the text of this prayer called Kaddish, and he'll take the Amud, then that will be what I need. Rabbi Akiva tracks down, it tells us, Rabbi Akiva tracks down the young man and painfully teaches him slowly the Aleph Beis until the young man is knowledgeable enough to take the Amud and to recite Kaddish. And then he has a dream again. The man comes and says, Yashikoyach, I've been allowed in upstairs. And this is the makor of Kaddish, which really is a minog. We're going to see in the end, not really a chova, because Kaddish is not a din of the Gemara. It's really a minog that we say Kaddish based on this story of Rabbi Akiva. It's considered to be a very holy prayer. However, Mishneh Berurah already brings down the Bir Halacha. Rabbi Yisroel Salanter famously said, you know, Rabbi Yisroel Salanter said, it's a bigger kibud av, the aim, to not fight for the Amud than it is to say Kaddish. Avelim, who break into, it's a classic Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. You know, like, they ask Rabbi Yisroel Salanter, I need to buy matzah. What chumrah should I look for when I buy matzah? 18 minutes, to this, to that. He said, the chumrah you should look for is to make sure that the women who are working in the bakery, that they're paid a decent salary. That's the chumrah. That's the classic Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. So this one's also. Rabbi Yisroel Salanter said, what is the greatest covet I should show my parent? I'm an avel, I just lost a parent. What's the greatest covet I should show? Rabbi Yisroel Salanter said, to never fight for the Amud. It's a greater covet to not fight for the Amud than it would be to say Kaddish. But according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, maybe it's worth fighting for. It's Daraisa. The Kaddish is Daraisa. It is a fulfillment of our Gemara of Kibud B'Moso. Yes. My father is a tzaddik gomor. Yeah.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Oh.
What I'm trying to get the kaddish change from my Yehishmei
Rav. Right.
Even if your father is a tzaddik gomor, I mean, it's a kabbalah kasach that in memory of a deceased person, you are the agent.
Of course, I subscribe to the great value of it. I'm just telling you that, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, that's covered to do it. And according to the Shvus Yankov, it's not a. You should do it because you're trying to help him get in upstairs, but you can't call that covered. I mean, is it covered for you to post bond to get your father out of jail? You know, the Gemara didn't say among the things of covered is get him to eat, get him to drink, and post bond if he gets arrested. That it's the right thing to do, but you wouldn't call that covered. So according to the Shvus Yankov, it's the right thing to do to say Kaddish in case he's not a tzaddik, but that's not covered. According to Rav Yosef Engel, that's covered. That's covered b'moso. It's daraisa. Yes. Oh, so let's get to what was bothering everybody. We'll see that now in the Shulchan Aruch, page 5. Yeah.
Does it also apply to grandparents?
Everybody had their Wheaties this morning, I see. Yeah.
Specifically, if there are no other family members that would ever say Kaddish anymore.
Correct. So if there's no child or no one to say Kaddish, so it's even stronger that one should do the right thing to say Kaddish, but it still doesn't have the status of a child saying for a parent. Still doesn't have that status. So a person who's saying Kaddish for a great-grandparent versus someone saying for a parent, for the parent comes first. For the parent comes first. We have fights of someone saying Kaddish, their car died last week, they want to say, I have the Amud first, you know, we have fights. A person should realize, keeping Shalom, to the point, by the way, that Rav Moshe has a tshuva, I get this question comes up once a month here, always with a visitor, who they bring the mentality of other places. They say, I have your site tonight, I need a Dav Marav. We say, that's nice, but we have 17 Chiyuvim. We have people in Yud Beis Chodesh, we have your sites, they come first. So the person says, no problem, I'll bring 10 people, I'll go in the other room, I'll make another Marav. So what's more proper? That they have the right to take the Amud to say Kaddish, or Barov Am Hadras Melech, you stay 1 minyan. Rav Moshe has a tshuva b'feirish. Rav Moshe says, 1 minyan. What right do you have? Because you want to say Kaddish, well, you want to have the Amud. What right do you have to break up Barov Am? Rav Moshe paskins halacha l'maisa, you should not. Others disagree. And you see, depending on different communities, they have different menhagim. Listen, it's one thing, you daven in the shtibloch. You daven in already in the gra. Every 5 steps is another minyan. So to make another marav minyan is not breaking away. There's no Barov Am. But you talk about a community who has one marav at this time, that would be a breakup of Marava. Right, so that's Keneged Rav Moshe. Again, there's other poskim. That's how Rav Moshe sees it. You have to understand, Kaddish at one time, and the Yekas still do this. Kaddish was one person. Kaddish had the din of a Shliach Tzibur. You were a Shliach Tzibur. So one person, to the point that the Yekas would rotate, who had the schus of saying that Kaddish. And everyone said Kaddish together, you'd get... My wife has a story, her grandparents lived in Washington, they were Hungarians living in Washington Heights. So her Zaidi's brother-in-law davened in Breuer's once, and he thought he had your Zaidi, he said Kaddish with everyone else, and I think he got such a clap on his head he never came back again. He said one person got to say the Kaddish, it was part, they had the din of a Shliach Tzibur, which gets to the whole question of women Kaddish, How can women say Kaddish? Is it a din of Shliach Tzibur? Can they? The Chavos Yar? All of that's beyond the scope. We're on Hareini Kaparos Mishkavo. We're dealing with the Kibud Av V'Eim, the notion. We came onto this just because Rav Yosef Engel said, if the Gemara tells us that there's a chiyuv of honoring even after death, how is that fulfilled? Not just by saying Zichron Levracha. That's the easy way out. Kaddish is an even greater, and therefore for Rabbi Yosef Engel, Kaddish is Doraisa.
If you have six sons,
they rotate. You gonna tell me it's a covenant for the father if they fight over who gets the Amud, the sons? Chayev lechabdo. Look at Simon Reish Mem. No, they should rotate. They shouldn't. Six. To me, it's the opposite of covenant. The greatest thing is to be ba'achtus and daven together, Barovam, and honor the father and say Kaddish. Simon Reish, not me, it's Reb Moshe. Simon Reish Mem, Sif Tes. Zog to Shulchan Aruch, Chayev lechabdo afilo achar moso. We pass in this way. You have to honor a parent even after death. Ketzad, how? Haya omer davar shmuel mipiv. If you're repeating something you heard from your father, your mother, omer, kach amar abba mari, harini kaparas mishkavo. You say, thus I heard from my father, may I be his kapara. Im hutok shnei masar chodesh, if it's within the 12 months. Vimulach shnei masar chodesh, omer zechron levracha. After the 12 months, you say zechron levracha. You'll note, of course, that Shulchan Aruch abbreviated. The Gemara said, Zichron Levracha, L'chai Olam Abba. We just don't have time for all that. We just say Zichron Levracha. Continues the Ramah. You see where I put the star? Zog the Ramah. V'ein chilek b'einim la'av b'chozeh. B'einim la'av l'chozeh. When we talk about honoring in life and after death, no difference between the mother and father. Yesh omrim, dim kosev tok shnei masar chodesh davar u'mazkir aviv. Now I understand why within 12 months I say, Harini kaparas mishkavo, because I want to help him. Maybe he needs a kapara. I'm taking it for the team. But when I write, what if I'm writing it down? I'm writing a letter, I'm writing an article, I'm publishing a book, and I'm mentioning my father's name within the first year. Do I write a Karani Kaparas Mishkavo? People are going to read the book after the year is up. Or do I write Zichron Levracha? Because I'm already writing for the book to have a shelf life beyond the first year. So the Ramah says, if you're writing within 12 months, then Ein Tzarech Lichtov Harini Kaparas Mishkavo, Ela Zichron Levracha. Then you write Zichron Levracha. Hakas Vizuk Miskayem Achash Shnei Masar Chodesh. V'yesh Machmir Mafilu B'Ksiva. And some are Machmir, even in writing, that you say Harini Kaparas Mishkavo in the first year. V'chein Noagin. And that, in fact, is what we... If you look at Rav Asher Weiss's Tshuvas, after his father died a couple of years ago, writes Harini Kaparas Mishkavo, but then they'll put that in parentheses and afterwards write Zichron Levracha. So that it was written the right way originally and then changed to Zichron Levracha in perpetuity. Says the Taz, let's look at the Taz's question, the arrow on the right, the Turei Zav, the Taz. Perish Rashi, what does Kareini Kaparas Mishkavo mean? Alai Yavo Kol Dovar Raha Roi Lavo Al Nafsho. Let me take whatever decree he was supposed to get, I'll take it for him. Avalach HaShneim HaSachodesh Kar Kiba Masha Kibel Sheim Mishpur Roshon Begehenim Yosem HaShneim HaSachodesh Ad Kan Lashono. But after 12 months, nobody burns for that long. Everybody gets upstairs. Everybody gets a pass after 12 months. So, at that point, you switch over to Zichron Levracha. V'koshali, ask the Taz Akasha, koshali mizeh amashikosav ramah, b'simen shenani ches, nagu she'en omen kadu yosem me'achar asar chadashim. I promised you we would get to the question. We universally have the minhag that though the first year of mourning lasts how long? 12 months. Not 11 months. And even in a leap year, not 13 months, 12 months. It's called Yud Beis Chodesh. That's what it's called. There's a reason it's called Yud Beis Chodesh. Not called a Shana. It's called Yud Beis Chodesh. Which is, by the way, why you don't say Miktas Hayom Kekulo on the last day of Yud Beis Chodesh. You say Miktas Hayom Kekulo for Shiva, because it's 7 days. So you could say part of the day is like the whole day. And you say Miktas Hayom Kekulo for Shloshim, because it's 30 days. So you could say part of the day is like the day. But Yud Beis Chodesh, you don't say Miktas Hayom Kekulo. Why? Because it's not whatever the math is, 11 times, whatever the math is. It's 12 months. It's not days. So you can't say Miktas Hashana Kishana. Miktas Chodesh Kechodesh. You say Miktas Hayom Kekulo. So therefore, you don't say it for Yud Beis Chodesh. So the mourning for a parent is not 11 months, nor in a leap year 13 months. It's 12 months. But how long do you say Kaddish? 11 months. And why do you say it? Shalolach Ziko Kurasha. So as not to suggest that they're a Russia who needs the maximum 12 months in Gehenim. I get this all the time. People get confused. You finish saying Kaddish after 11 months, but you remain in Avil. You stay and go to weddings and live music and so on until the 12 months. And in a leap year, the Yeretzayit won't be for another month, but your year is up after the 12 months. You understand? Each of these things has its own rules. So the Taz is asking the following question. Rashi said, you say, Areni Kaparas Meshkavo for 12 months. Why? Because that's the maximum time till someone can get upstairs. So you say it for 12 months. Aye, but we say Kaddish 11 months. Why? We don't want to suggest that our parent, our beloved mother or father, needed the maximum. We want to suggest 11 months. 11 months. So why don't we apply that to Areni Kaparas Meshkavo? But Tzrichin Lomar answers the Taz. You have to say, the shiny leinya and areni kaparas meshkavo kevin del acher yud beis chodesh tzarach lomar zichron levracha. When it comes to kaddish, you have the option of sheve atase. You say kaddish 11 months and then you stop and you say nothing. But when it comes to saying something when you quote your father, you don't have the luxury of being passive. You're either saying areni kaparas meshkavo or you're saying zichron levracha. So since it's not yet time to say Zechron Levracha, that's why it's different than Kaddish. Kaddish, which you have the option of being passive, Shevi Atasa, you'll just not say anything, you stop after 11 months, not to imply they need the maximum. But this, what you say when you quote your father, you don't have that option. You have to say something. Once you have to say something, you keep going. Areni kaparas mishkavo. V'chein omrim, afilo al odam acha shemes nimtza devachodash yidbeiz, why can't you switch after 11 months to Zichron Levracha, L'chaya Olam Haba? Why can't you say that? Yesh kan sheker. Because maybe they're not in Olam Haba yet. And you're telling a lie. You think that helps your father? He's still struggling to get in upstairs and you're down here saying, Zichron Levracha, L'chaya Olam Haba. My tati is enjoying and basking in Olam Haba. It's not helping your father. So when it comes to Kaddish, you say Kaddish on his behalf. But after 11 months, you stop. Why? Silence is golden. You don't want to suggest he needed the maximum, but you're also not saying anything that's untrue. You're passively just being quiet. But when it comes to saying something here, you don't have a choice. It's either Areni Kaparas Meshkavo, or it's Zichron Levracha L'chaya Olam Haba. You can't say Zichron Levracha yet until the end of 12 months because you're not positive he's upstairs. You don't want to say a sheker. So you have no choice but to keep going with Hareni Kaparas Meshkavo. Ella Abba Mori Yezaz Zilzu Shiyodim Shemes Memela Yefshalios Shevi Atase Alke Mutav Laskir B'Shem. It's better to say Hareni Kaparas Meshkavo Shein Zaz Zilzu V'Gam Eino Sheker, and so on. Okay, that's what the Taz answers. That's what the Taz answers. What? He's worried. It's sheker. The shach is not worried about it. The shach says, "Look at the shach. Look at the shach on the left side." Gam toch yud beis chodesh yachol lomar zechron levraka. Rak de laachar yud beis chodesh lo yomar harini kaparas mishkavo. Mishum de mishpat rishon behenim. So the shach takes the opposite position of the taz. Shach says you could say zechron levraka from day one, and in fact that's the minhag. It's very unusual. You go to a levaya, or you go to a shiva, or for Yud Beis Choda, they're 11 months, you hear someone say, my father, Harini Kaparas Meshkavo. Very unusual. Most people say Zichron Levracha already within 11 months. The Shach says, you have the option of saying Zichron Levracha within the 11 months, you should just be careful not to say Harini Kaparas Meshkavo after the 12 months. So the Taz says, you can't say Zichron Levracha early. How do you know that's true? Maybe it's a sheker. You have to say Harini Kaparas Meshkavo for 12 months, then you switch to Zichron Levracha. And the Shach says, no, you can start Zichron Levracha in the 12 months. Just be careful not to say Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo afterwards. The Aruch HaShulchan also weighs in here. Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, the Aruch HaShulchan, page 7. And says the Aruch HaShulchan the following. Again, what was the Taz's question? How come on Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo, Rashi said to say it all 12 months, whereas with Kaddish we say it for 11 months? So what does the Aruch HaShulchan answer? The lo dami milsa de barabim l'davar anasa b'yachidus. Because you can't compare something that's public with private. Hareini kaparas meshkavo is in private conversation. So that you can continue for the 12 month. But Kaddish, which people will look at you, they're going to say, oh, he has to say for 12 months. I guess his father was pretty bad. That's for the in public. That's when you stop after 11 months. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan answers the question. But I wanted to end in our last 12 minutes or so by taking a look at an essay that Rav Asher Weiss wrote about this subject. Inyan Kavod Av B'Moso, page 8 until the end. This is from Rav Asher. We'll see how much we get through. And it too, by the way, just like for Rav Steinman, it, Yibad L'chaim Tov Ma'aruchim, Rav Asher's comments are appropriate for the Parsha too. Happen, everything always, no coincidence, works out well. Yes?
What happens where you have family that's employed? Well, I'm on one train, and whatever happened to that train, whatever happened to people on that train. How do you handle that kind of a situation where you don't know?
Yeah, how do you establish a yurt site, or how long do you mourn when you don't know exactly when they passed away?
And you say kaddish for grandparents?
Right, it's a tragic question. It's a tragic question. I had to deal with last year, a couple years ago, somebody was found deceased in their bed, unclear when they died, within what day. So when are you koveya the yurt site? Do you assume that you're koveya the yurt site based on the day they were discovered? Do you follow forensics? The best, they don't do forensics. Do you follow the best guess of the detective, of the funeral home, from the body? So sometimes we have this tragic question of not being able to identify exactly when the death is to know how long to mourn.
That's fine. Holocaust.
Yeah.
Time of the war, I'm one of the survivors in my first grade class.
Right.
My teacher's how is that supposed to be handled?
It's a difficult question, a difficult question.
Jewish relation is from the day you were the person
hurt. Well, we have Shmua Krova and Shmua Rechoka. If you heard within a certain amount of time, if you heard after a certain amount of time, yeah. You also have a din avelus when you, if you reinter somebody, if you move somebody who was buried, you have a chiv of avelus, you have a chiv of shiva for that day. Our minag is not to tell. We just, my father just moved my, I guess it's not private information, moved my grandparents who were buried in Staten Island to... The first one's buried in the new BRS section in Eretz Chaim, in Beit Shemesh. So it's dafka done where they don't tell the potential mourner which day it is until the day after, so that they won't have the chiyuv of shiva all these years later. How many years later is it? Significant years later. Okay, let's look at what Rav Asher says. He's going off of the following psukim. Vayasu banav lo kein kasher tzivim. Pshasu the shol ameshiv. The shol ameshiv asks, Hevi midrash marisha shoyev shekasa b'shem Ramban. The mikan lamdu chazal the mitzvah lekayim divrei ames. What happened? Yaakov makes Yosef take an oath to him, and we see from here that there's an obligation to fulfill the will of the deceased. Amdan kvar esib b'min chazal shebrishes the lo amra Allah chazu el v'dinim mamonos. The notion of chayev lekayim divrei ames, mitzvah lekayim divrei ames, is that only with financial matters that you have to follow through on the last will and testament, a commandment, that you have to follow through on the last will and testament, or even for other matters. So here, V'yismach Moshe parshasenu kasal l'davar nifla b'derech pilpul b'ak mishtei kushios. Here's the following question. This is Parshas Vayechi. We're already learning next week's Parsha. Lama ishbiya Yaakov as Yosef v'lo samach sh'Yosef yasa kebak kashaso. Why did Yaakov make Yosef swear that he would not leave him in Mitzrayim? Why didn't he rely on Yosef? He said, Yosef, would you do this? Yosef said, sure. He says, not good enough. I need you to promise. Yosef's not worthy. Yosef's not credible. Those who are learning Daf Yomi, today we finally started the third parak of Shavuos, finally dealing with Inyane Shavuos. So Chazal tell us that it's not a good thing to swear, even on something that's true. We discourage swearing. So why would Yaakov make Yosef take an oath that he will fulfill his word? Was Yosef not dependable, reliable, trustworthy? And isn't it a gratuitous oath? Ma ben Avram Avinu sheshbias Eliezer avdo haterem bikesh menu lasa shlichuso liyakov shekodem bikesh miyosef lekaver beretz Yisrael v'rak achar kach hishbio. Avram first makes Eliezer swear, then he tells him about what? Yaakov first tells him about what? And afterwards makes him swear. Why does he change the order? Because of the Kusha Achas Meturetz Bechaverta, and the Yismach Moshe answers that one question, one of the questions answers the other. The Shavuos Eliezer Haisa Al Shevi Al Tase Shalikach Yishal Yitzchak Minosa Knani Umutal Yishava Al Shevi Al Tase Vashuos Yosef Yankov Haya Bekum Vasei Lahaos Atzmosov Vyosel Yishava Bekum Vasei Mishum Kach Kodem Tziva Olav Lasos Kein Vishuva Vimitzvah Mishum Kivir Av Vishar Lel Inche Lizruz Inash Mitzvah Kibavur Minadarim. This is no ordinary oath. Normally it's not good to take an oath on an ordinary thing. But here, the fact that Yosef is going to fulfill Yaakov's will even after Yaakov dies, that's a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Kibud av v'eim. How is it kibud av v'eim? Yaakov's dead. What do you see? Kibud av v'eim la'achar moso. There's a notion of honoring even after death. So to take a neder on a mitzvah, to be mizdares, to get yourself going, that is something which is worthwhile. Good. So Rav Asher begins by quoting our Gemara, Kedushin Laman Aleph and Beis, our Gemara. I'm on the bottom of page 8. V'yesh la'ayin, v'chol ikar halacha zu b'yisod agdara ha'im kibra v'moso, ina el lahaskir shmo b'kavod, v'gdula. What is the nature of honoring your father? Honoring your father while he's alive, I understand. Get him something to drink, get him something to eat, bring him his slippers, bring him his newspaper. I understand. What does honoring him after he died look like? What does that mean? He's not here. We've defined honor as to physically pamper, to care for. Well, the neshama has been extracted from the guf, the soul's been taken from the body, the father's not here. So how do you honor somebody who's not here? So maybe you say you honor him by whenever you mention his name in an honorable way. And that's how the Gemara defined it. When you mention his name, always say, for 12 months, are any kaparas mishkavo, after 12 months, zichrona levracha. That's the first possibility. Oh, where I underlined. Shema yishav chiyav lasos ritzono ulemalos bakashosav af la'achar moso mishum mitzvus kibud av v'eim. Is it limited that you honor your father who's no longer here simply kind of in title, in theory, by mentioning his name and with honorifics? Or no, do you honor your father who may not be here physically but whose soul continues to track and supervise what you're doing by fulfilling his will? What's a nafkamina? If your father says, not about money, because mitzvah l'kayim divar ames is true for money, but let's say your father says, not about money, he says, it would mean a lot to me if you do X after I'm gone. I want you to publish a sefer. I want you to climb Mount Everest. I want you to whatever. Is there a kiyum of kivud av la'achar moso by fulfilling the will of your father when he's gone? So if you understand the kavod la'achar moso is really just in title, how do you honor him? He's not here. You can't honor him anymore. You're honoring his name. How do you honor his name? Zichrono levracha. So then there's no reason to hike Mount Kilimanjaro, whatever that thing is called, and I don't have to publish the sefer. But if you hold that there's kibud la'achar moso means actually doing, he is still here. He's not here physically, but he is still here, then it would. So he goes on to say, next page 9, the Achronim debate, is this mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Kibra ve'eim b'chayim, while they're alive, is that biblical or rabbinic? It's biblical. In fact, it appears two times. Pashas Yisro and ve'aschanan. It's in the Aseres HaDibros, the Decalogue, the Big Ten. Kavedis avich ve'simecha l'man yarichun yamecha. So kibra ve'eim while they're alive is absolutely a mitzvah d'oraisa. What about kibud when they're gone? Saying zichron levracha l'chayel ma'aba, reciting yizkor, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, saying kaddish, lighting a candle, kibud l'achar moso is a d'oraisa d'rabbanon. So the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah, naka de'ein mitzvah z'mei Torah, kibud ave'ein b'mosam ina el mitzvah d'rabbanon. They're not here. You can't honor them. You can't honor somebody who's not here. So therefore, it's really, it's a nice idea. It's d'rabbanon. From our Gemara, it sounds like it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The kach kos b'shalas tshuvas divrei makiel. V'arayah shehevia tiferet Yisrael in le'mechach k'mavur l'mayan. And he tries to uproot. V'nei b'ksuvas yisab mitzvah yisom l'frochov aviyam. The Gemara in Suva says, let's say a man dies with debt. Is there a mitzvah for the children to pay the debt of their father? So the Gemara says, yes, there's a mitzvah for children to pay the debt of their father. Because of Rashi, the mitzvah shem kavod aviyam. What's the nature of that mitzvah? Certainly it's a kiddush Hashem. Nice. Okay, but more than that. So Rashi says, what's the mitzvah lefro achov aviyam? The mitzvah is kavod. El she'ein based in kofan asla mitzvah kevin she'ein ol midrabonon. So Rashi seems to sound like it's a mitzvah. It's a nice thing for the yisomim, for the offspring to pay the debt, but Beis Din will not force them to pay the debt because they didn't inherit the debt. It's just the fulfillment of kavod, and kavod after death is only drabanim. Well, the chori yish lochiach midvar the kibbutz avimoso ain't only drabanim. Ach be'emes near yosir the kavanas Rashi the priest chov avim ain't by ikar mitzvahs kibbutz avimoso to ain't lot of mitzvahs who elakein shomru chazal. So says Rav Asher Weiss, who says you can prove from that Rashi that all kavod after death is only derabanan? Maybe paying the debts derabanan, because the Gemara didn't give that as an example of kavod b'moso. What did the Gemara give as an example of kavod b'moso? Saying zichron levracha harini kaparas mishkavo. So maybe that component is daraisa. What's Rav Asher Weiss's chiddush? Is that even though it seems it's a machlokas, is kibud b'moso d'oraisa d'rabbanan, says Rav Asher Weiss, yes. Meaning, some components of how we show kibud l'achar moso is d'rabbanan, but the Gemara's example, that you say, areni kaparas mishkava or zechron levracha, that aspect of it is d'oraisa. Okay. What happens? Top of page 10. I really want to finish with this so we can start the Nisugya next time. This is Machlokas based Yosef and Ramah. What if a father says to a son, when I die, I don't want you to say Kaddish? Ava mocha b'bno shalim akad. I'm sorry. A father says, I don't want you to say Kaddish for your mother who died.
The father's still alive.
And he says, I forbid you from saying Kaddish. I didn't like your mother. She didn't deserve it. I don't want you to embarrass me. I don't believe in this stuff. I'm asking you not to say Kaddish. According to the Beis Yosef, he should listen to his father. Why? Because Kibbut Av comes before Kibbut Aim. The Ramah says, no, minag is you say Kaddish, even though it's against the will of your father. What's the nature of all this? We're out of time. Maybe we'll come back to this. But he says, the Kibbut Aim is, why did the Beis Yosef say Kibbut Av is before Kibbut Aim? It's not just before Kibbut Aim, it's the kavod for Chaim is before the kavod for the mace, for the person who's not even here anymore. So that might be totally on whether a kibud achar moso is d'oraisa d'rabbanan. The kavod of the one who's living, which is d'oraisa, comes before the kavod of the one who's no longer here, which is d'rabbanan. It's a very worthwhile piece. I'll just tell you one last thing. Go to page 12. He quotes Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has the following. And we end with this. A woman who's in Yud Beis Chodesh after the death of her father and her mother. And her husband has to go to a wedding. And he says, I don't want to sit alone at a wedding. I don't care if you're an avelis for your parents. I hate sitting alone. I'm miserable sitting alone. I want you to come to the wedding with me. So what about now? You have the notion of kavod bala. You have the obligation, which is not misogynistic. He also is obligated to show her honor. But here, she's obligated to show him honor. So remember, we saw that in the conflict between honoring a spouse and a parent, what comes first? The loyalty is to the spouse. We saw the Sefer Hasidim who said, if you're smart, right, a woman comes with a bowl of soup to the table, does she put it in front of her father or her husband? The halacha is she puts it in front of her husband. If her husband's smart, he says to her, put it in front of your father. So here you have a conflict. The parents are gone. She feels an obligation of kavod to honor her parents. She's in her Yud Beis Chodesh for her parents. But her husband says, I'm miserable alone at these weddings. Come. So Rav Moshe says that what? He's matir. In that scenario, she should go to the wedding. Rav Moshe's calculation is the kavod for the living, for her husband, takes precedence over the kavod for those who are no longer here, which is only derabanan. So true avelos is all that. But still, if he says it means a lot to me, Rav Moshe is matir her to go. Rav Asher is going to disagree with Rav Moshe. We're out of time exactly for his calculation. I would encourage you to read it on your own. Very interesting. We'll pick up from here at Mirza Hashem next week.